Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of everything related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, your host, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring in a special guest. His name is Bill, and he's actually the CEO and founder of Belavix. And Will actually is a very special guest because we met in Accelerate a few months back for the first time. And I remember when I met Will, it was because we're going to do this tour to the Amazon premises, the Spheres, which is very famous in Seattle. And from there, you know, I was basically having this conversation with Will, and I realized all the amazing things that they do at Belavix, which is one of the top agencies in the space when it comes to Amazon and Walmart. And I thought to myself, you know, man, I need to have you on my podcast. I'm sure you're going to draw some amazing knowledge to my audience. And here you are, Will. So it's a pleasure to have you on the show. And thank you for coming. How's everything going?
It's going great. And yeah, pleasure to connect again. Accelerate was a lot of fun, and I'm excited that we could keep this relationship going and be able to talk shop on your podcast.
Yeah, love it, love it. I know before going live, we're having actually a conversation about what topic to cover today. And something that came to the table is, you know, what are some of the latest practices when it comes to ACO? So I'm very excited about that because, let's be honest, on Amazon, you don't sell products, you sell keywords. So yeah, it's all about making sure how you position these keywords on your listing. And of course, then I'm sure we're going to also touch on how this is going to play a huge role on how your PPC performs. Now, before we go into that, Will, of course, I'm sure you have a very interesting background, which I know. And we want to learn, you know, how you jump into commerce. What made you, you know, jump into the Amazon space and then also found your agency, Belavix? Give us a little bit of the backstory. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. I give you the 40,000 foot view because it could get
yeah,
crazy.
Of course. Of course.
I was in a completely unrelated field. And I was working full-time somewhere and I was just generally unhappy. And I took the opportunity to kind of take a new career path. And my gateway into Amazon, which is what I know from a lot of advertisers, was search engine optimization and Google AdWords. And I went and I went to work for agencies. So I've always worked in agencies to some degree for, at this point, over 15 years. And slowly but surely, they started putting me in like e-commerce roles. And then Amazon was the thing. You know, like, we got to learn Amazon. So I was the guy who went and learned Amazon. And then just kind of worked my way. And in 2018, I just got tired of working for other people. I learned enough and I was like, I can do this better. I have this methodology, and specifically like what we do different in our mission. It's world-class people delivering world-class service. So we strive to be a premium service provider for the brands that we work with. And I've been doing that, the Belavix thing, since 2018. And we've been really blessed. We're an Amazon service provider network. We've worked with some pretty premier brands, and I'm excited to be here with you today, Vincenzo, to talk a little about search engine optimization and some of the latest stuff coming our way.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And I think after you gave me the background that you come from the Google world and specialize in ACO, I'm sure today's episode is going to be very insightful because, let's be honest, most Amazon sellers, they have to figure out ACO. Most of us don't have a background on that. And when you jump on the Amazon space and having to combine the foundation of ACO, but together with the tricks of understanding the Amazon game, it can be tough and challenging for most people. So I'm sure you having that background in terms of the ACO brand made your journey into Amazon much easier.
Hey, Vincenzo, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. It's amazing. You could Google on some of the top search results.
You're like, it's crazy.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah. I know, which is what I want to get to, because I feel most people assume that SEO in Amazon is very similar to maybe what you might do on Google, but there mm-hmm. are some fundamental differences that if you don't really understand that, you can really drop the ball into what potentially can be a very costly mistake, especially because we all know if you don't get position, if you don't get exposure, like you can have the best product, but nothing is really going to get you there in terms of success if you don't have the right SEO strategy. So let's start with that. What are some of the things, maybe at the basic level, you know, for everybody here and so on, what are some of the initial beginner mistakes, we can call them, that people do in terms of SEO or assumptions when they get started on Amazon?
Keyword stuffing, I think, is the biggest thing. I see titles on listings that go well beyond the character specification, yeah. roughly 200, and just people stuffing in anything and everything. And that's why you'll see these listings where it's like, try my perfume, and it's for men, women, and girls.
Grandmother's girlfriend, everything.
And you're like, oh my God, take it down a notch. You know, it's insane. So the biggest thing is use natural language. Use your search term report if you're advertising. If not, you know, Helium 10 is a great tool. We're a Helium 10 shop, so we like to use their suite of tools to do some keyword research. If you guys know Brendan Young is and Data Dive, we're big fans of what they're doing and getting really deep. So the biggest thing is like get good information and understand how searchers search for your product. They're not going to search all those keywords, they're going to search like one very specific keyword for a very specific solution. So is your product relevant? Does it have relevancy score essentially? And is it going to lead to a sale? And if it's not, then, you know, you might not need all those keywords in your listing.
Yeah, I think that's actually a very good tip, because I feel that mistake comes from a FOMO, I think, in the sense that they have the fear of not having all the keywords and therefore leaving money on the table. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, let's be honest, we're not the 80-20 rule. Yes, you may have 100 keywords, but only 20 keywords are going to bring you 80% of the revenue, right? That's the reality, mm-hmm. right? So I guess how you as a seller can identify those keywords, because when you have so many keywords, it can get confusing, you get overwhelmed, like how I'm going to put these 100 keywords at Helium 10 with data that are giving me if I don't have the space, and that's when you start doing all this keyword stuffing. So what is your advice there?
Yeah, leverage the. So there's some like indirect ways for you to get keywords. So first of all would be Amazon backend search for mm-hmm. backend search queries. You could add keywords in there that you might be missing, and they just expanded it to 500 characters mm-hmm. Exactly. from or 500 bits from 250. Mm-hmm. So they want sellers to put that information on the backend. Also, what we're noticing internally is that shorter titles are getting indexed better and a little faster. Exactly. So mm-hmm. we're starting to see a shift from like Amazon's like, you know, maybe don't put all this crap in the title. Let's put it on the back end where it belongs so that it's a better user. We also know a majority of people are accessing Amazon from their mobile device. So the first 70 characters of your title are really going to impact. And that's, you hear me, title, title, title. We focus a lot on the title for indexation. With the goal of getting a click-through. But when we're on the product detail page, it's all about conversion. So, yeah, mm-hmm. we are thinking of keywords and optimizing your listing for keywords. But, you know, you should have romance in your title. You should be selling this product, mm-hmm. your unique selling proposition, and your keywords will naturally come. And you could always split, you know, Amazon's got tons of tools, manager experiments, where you kind of test out some of these things to see what works and what doesn't. There's also third-party tools like Pickfu,
where you can
test out images and get people's responses to your product. So those are some of the things we would recommend. It's find a good root keyword, go long tail mm-hmm. if you don't have a mature listing, and focus on that title and first image. And then once they're on your product detail page, romance them a little bit, take them out to dinner so you can seal that deal.
Exactly. Yeah, I think, you know, that part of being a good copywriter is also essential, because, you know, mm-hmm. if the product looks amazing, but then you start reading and things don't make sense, or it looks like a robot, it really turned people off. Imagine if you are shopping for an iPhone and then you will see all the bullet points of the iPhone and the landing page in Apple all being this crazy copy. Even the images are great, like you're going to kill most of the conversion. So, you know, having that language that I feel is very specific to each niche. That's why I guess you also have to become an expert when it comes to understanding your avatar is key. Otherwise, you're just being a robot. And that's, people can feel it, you know, people that can definitely feel that.
Speaking of robots, Vincenzo, I'd love to get your opinion on AI because we are fiercely debating and we're also seeing Amazon input AI on the back
end. It's crazy.
I'll tell you a story real quick. We had Amazon recommend some AI on one of our listings, and it was some of the keywords were pretty good. So we're like, all right, let's test it. You know, we're all about testing it. One of the keywords they recommend got our listing suppressed because it was like a flag for pesticide. So it caused a bunch of issues.
Thank you, Amazon. Like, thank you.
Thanks, Amazon. We had a good selling product. We appreciate your recommendations to shut down our listing for a week.
Yeah, for us it's the same, to be honest. When the AI roll out, and I would recommend everybody to, you can opt out of this. So you definitely need to do that, because I feel like I'm all about new things and new tools, but it feels like this tool Amazon just activated it and they really didn't do any checks to make sure it was going to be reliable. And the ones that are paying those mistakes are we sellers, right? So I would say try to opt out. Don't let Amazon basically choose the title and everything for you, because let's be honest, it's the same happens in the PPC. Like when you give the control to Amazon, say just auto campaigns, we know that can become very expensive very fast. So
very fast.
I don't really trust. Now, I think what I want to cover about listings, because I really want to take your point on this, is the frequency of optimization, because I feel sometimes people also fall into two extremes. Either the extreme that they do a listing for the first time when they launch a product and they never touch it again, which I think that's wrong. Or the other side that every single day, oh, I found a new keyword, a new phrase, and they keep changing the listing over and over again. And that's also very bad. So how you keep a balance, based on your experience, how often realistically you should be optimizing on this?
That's really great. And set it and forget it is something that we see. Oh, I paid a copywriter 5 years ago and we're good. I don't want to pay it again. It's like, that's why you're not indexing as well, dude. Like, people's language changes over time. So it's something to keep in mind. At the minimum, we do 2 times a year for most products. And that's at the minimum. Nice. We try to test things pretty frequently. And I would say you definitely want to make sure you're optimizing when it comes to events, tentpole events, to get ahead of the gift giving season. You know, I'm speaking in generals, like if you sell toilet plungers, you know, your seasonality is going to be a little different and probably less impacted than somebody who sells beauty products or products that are more giftable, for example. So that's why I say I'm at the minimum 2x a year, and you should just use your search term report. You can use brand analytics in the search query dashboard to get a lot of information on how customers search. And then we like to, you know, if you're a clothing brand, your apparel, you're probably updating things quarterly as seasons change. And if you're reviewing old products, and then same thing with like jewelry, it's something that's very subjective and it's very giftable. So you got Valentine's Day, you got Mother's Day, you got Prime Day, you got the holidays. So off the bat, I just rolled out 4 seasons where we would try to optimize the copy before each of these events. So this is a long-winded way of me semi-dodging the questions of too minimal, but it really depends on the category you're in.
For sure. And I think you pointed something out there that most people miss, which is events. Like, for example, ourselves, I'm sure you do the same. We have a calendar of every specific date on the year, like Valentine's, Father's Day, Mother's Day, International Day, whatever. And I think that's very important, because if you're clever and you are ahead of the competition into change your title and your PPC just for that specific day, that all those bumps in sales throughout the year, like which usually tend to be 10 to 20 specific days on the year, can really make a difference on the bottom line. So, and a lot
incremental of incremental improvement leads to long-term growth. You nailed it. It's that just being ahead of that competition little by little.
Yeah, for sure. Now, in terms of PPC, because I mean, AC, of course, it's all about, as we already mentioned, having the right keywords, but at the same time, having that romance of conveying the person to buy your product. But I feel at the same time, that has there has to be a link between what you're doing with your SEO and what you're doing with your PPC. Because if there is a disconnect in what you're targeting with your PPC and what is the end goal of the PPC, you may end up positioning the wrong keywords. You may end up burning money on the wrong keywords. And therefore, we may be losing the aim towards the right goal, which is organic rank. That's the way you make money on Amazon. You need to get position. So what are some of your tips when it comes to how you make sure that whatever you do on the SEO side of things also works in correlation with your PPC as well?
Yeah, beautiful. And I think it's really well said. And the way I think of advertising when it comes to search engine optimization is it's like adding fuel to the fire. So your fire, like the infrastructure fire, you're going to have some wood, you're going to have, you know, nice things to burn, and then you'll get a stable fire. But when you want to accelerate things, you know, take some gas, pour it on there. And that's advertising. And the thing is, if done improperly, when you remove that gas, it's just going to return back to its normal state. So effective SEO. So when we think of SEO, we think like, what's the root keyword that I want to start ranking for? A lot of times when brands come to us, they're generally not ranking for, you know, all the keywords that they'd like to rank for. And then building an ad strategy that couples to that SEO strategy that enhances it. But you want to make sure, obviously, you're getting conversions on that. You're somewhat indexing. And we're using advertising to push our listing up the ranking so that, you know, from a shopper's perspective, I see a sponsored brand ad. I see you in one of the first few sponsored results. And then I'm seeing you above the fold as an organic result. And like that is effective advertising and SEO kind of working together. And how you get there, it takes time, but it's being strategic. So I'll give you an example. We work with a sunblock company. They do their own sun protection. And we know, for example, that there are these 25 keywords that they always want to rank for, but it's a seasonal product. So like, we're not going to put fuel in that fire year round, but we do have those keywords separated. We have them separated on a list, and we always make sure we're advertising on them so that when everybody else pulls back and they're like, we're no longer, you know, season's over, let's save some money, these guys are putting in a little extra. You know, they obviously took down spend a little bit. We're not spending like we do in the summertime, but we are spending enough that we're improving our BSR. We're monitoring our BSR in a specific category, and we're making sure that we have a strong threshold on those keywords. So when the season comes back in, we're not starting from the ground up. We're not dumping a bunch of money in there. We're incrementally increasing it to kind of get those results. So those are a couple ways you can think of advertising and SEO, but it's always fuel to the fire. And if you don't have a proper infrastructure, when you take that gas away, it's going to go away. How about you, Vincenzo? How do you guys think about it?
Yeah, I feel from our side is the same. Like usually whatever we try to push with our PPC, we also make sure that keyword-wise, we also position these keywords correctly within the listing, because that's actually a question I was going to ask you next, which is not only nowadays about having the right keywords, but it's where you put them in your listing. Because let's say we really want to push certain keywords with our PPC and really get position. Like if you have those keywords on your title and you make sales throughout your listing by pushing through PPC, the attribution and the weight you give towards the keyword is different than if you have the key on a description level or the bullet point. And that goes tied with the tool, for example, Datadive, right? In Datadive, for example, you can clearly see how they came up with a system where depending where you put the keyword, you have a different opportunity score in terms of how fast you can get rank. So I think that's where things can get very complex, because then you have to become very clever that you want to target sometimes at the PPC level the keywords that then you put on your title, but not a lot of your competitors have in your title. Therefore, you're going to get positioned and to page one faster than if you got just towards the saturated keywords, which I'm sure something that you also agree on, right?
Yeah, 100%. And then the opportunity lost too. Is it the right keyword? You know, so on and so forth. But I love using Datadive and the opportunity score. Like at least you can, it's like, it's kind of a measured risk. Not that it's these software.
Exactly. You're not gambling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, brand analytics, you mentioned that briefly, but I just want to dive in a little bit more just for a minute, because I feel like brand analytics, like if you really master how to use this tool, like it is really the Bible for your product. It tells you how you've been performing. Like you can compare last month to this month in terms of the market share that you're gaining or you're losing at the keyboard level and so on. So can you just tell me a little bit high level, like how you would advise people to start using brand analytics? Because I feel most people, yes, they have used it and maybe play a little bit with that, but they don't really use it on a regular basis. And I feel like that's a huge mistake, given the fact that Amazon is giving the answer, where you're dropping the ball and where you should be putting your efforts, right?
Yeah, hands down. And we love auditing accounts and having access to this, because you could kind of measure it over time. I wish the dashboard was a little better. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, more graphic.
A lot of things about Amazon could be better. But I do wish there was more trends and you can get more granular that way. But overall, it gives you a lot of tools. And if you have access to AMC, the marketing cloud, you kind of have the ability to kind of see it all pieced together. And what I love most, too, is like you can see how many people are we catching at the bottom of the funnel, how many in consideration, and how many brand awareness. So depending on your brand's goals, not everybody's like bottom line sales. Sometimes like, how do we get more people in consideration? How do we get more subscribe and save shoppers? How do we get more people searching our brands? And they do give us the tools to kind of leverage, you know, actual Amazon data, and then having the marketing cloud kind of attached to that lets you see that like holistic approach of, okay, this is, you know, these high level brand awareness ads actually did drive some awareness, and we can see that spill over time. So, you know, what I love about Amazon, it's like Google 10 years ago at this point, like they're catching up. They're adding in these tools for us to build lifetime value, measure lifetime value, understand the true cost of acquiring a customer on Amazon's database. And brand analytics is like the 101, like the first step into that, where you can start analyzing that information and being more strategic. Don't get me wrong, it's a lot of data, so you got to pick and choose your battle, but it's there, and it wasn't there 5 years ago.
I know. I think it's such an amazing tool, and I think we even haven't talked about the Product Opportunity Explorer. Like that tool, now if you're looking to expanding your catalog and so on, like it's such an amazing thing, because now Amazon even breaks down for you exactly how much these products are selling, what are the trends, if they're going up, if they're going down. And you can even use this for a competitor, basically spying on them to see what they're doing, right? So I feel like a lot of people are undervaluing this. Like I can't tell you how many times I have a call with a client and they didn't even know they had this data. So that's why I wanted to make emphasis and bring to the table this conversation to invite people to use brand analytics, because I feel Amazon is just going to keep evolving more and more this tool. And it's essential, especially in SEO. Like when it comes to listing optimization, it's a must. It's basically telling you where the money is, right?
Oh, yeah. Think about your search term report. It's the same thing, except now you have an operational side to it.
Correct. Now, I think something I also wanted to touch on in terms of SEO is we have seen specifically in Europe, where there's a lot of secondary languages, but also in the States and Canada, that, you know, having secondary languages in terms of, let's say, in the States, targeting Spanish, in Canada, French, and so on, is also been something that is giving us good results. And I was wondering how you're attacking that with SEO. Like, is that also a big part of your strategy, like attacking other languages when you attack a specific region?
Yeah, exactly. In a specific region, definitely. I know maybe a few years ago, people were putting Spanish in their US listings in the back end.
Yeah.
We've seen some success with that, because the Amazon will automatically translate it. Amazon does offer services where they'll translate your listing for you in some of these marketplaces. We have found that Amazon does a serviceable job for sure, but you want to be more strategic. So usually in those marketplaces, we will outsource to other people like you, Vincenzo. I know you guys do some of the listing localization on our behalf. So we definitely see the value in having somebody on the ground who speaks that local language and they can recognize trends. Once those keywords are in there, you know, we have enough tools on hand that you could kind of dive deep and figure out a good SEO advertising strategy, but the infrastructure and the start of it should be getting somebody who speaks that local language and use use that person to help build those, help inform those listings being built.
Yeah, especially because if you don't use a personalized local, you'll miss that romance that we've basically been talking about.
That is
key, you know. Without that, you're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's anything wrong with using what Amazon gives you to get started, but you'll notice an improvement. I'm sure you have data on it where if you use somebody who actually speaks the language, how they're able to tweak it. It's like, you know, it's in the U.S. it's the equivalent of somebody. You kind of tell when a listing's not written by somebody whose native language is English, and you could kind of recognize those. And generally, you'll find those listings on page 3, 4, 5 and beyond on Amazon.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we're seeing, just going a little bit back to the AI topic, because this is something that I've been getting a lot of questions, and we're seeing a lot of movement into this area, that we basically see how Amazon is trying to push across the board, making everything more simpler, title, bullet points, to the point that it's becoming a platform where it's mainly driven now by media, like the pictures that you're using and video. It seems like copy, in some sense, is becoming less relevant for what Amazon is, the mixed signals they're giving us. Like, they want to go less keyword stuffy and focus more on the perception. Yeah. So what is your take on that? Do you have a theory around why maybe that is happening? What is the future when it comes to SEO?
Yeah, I think that they want more media driven. People will consume based on what they see. They have programs like the content creator program, which is still invite only. And it's like work with influencers. So I think Amazon is shifting a little bit. Don't get me wrong. I think to some degree, relevancy and keywords are going to be a part of it. But even what we talked about earlier, how they're shortening the title and they're putting more emphasis on that first 70 characters, like that's going to spill over. The more people have the ability to use AI, and it's only going to get better. You know, I'm not saying there is room for AI. There's human intervention needs to be part of it. So that being said, your media strategy, your ability to have really great content, and also your ability to just have really great products. I think gone are the days where you can buy something on Alibaba and just
put a logo,
list it and flip it. This is, it's more for brands now. And I think that's going to be the direction they're moving.
Awesome. Now, Will, to start concluding, I would like to, you know, pick your brain on a last few tips in terms of SEO. Like, what are some of the other things that maybe you feel we didn't touch on today's episode that you think people should be aware in 2024 when it comes to SEO? Like, is there any other things in terms of maybe mistakes that you're seeing or tips or strategies that you'd like to share with us? Like what they call the gold nuggets before we end?
Yeah, let's do it. I got three that come off the top of my head. The first one I would say is leverage Q&A. They actually made it like nice. You kind of search, especially if you're looking at competitor products with a ton of reviews, you can put keywords in there and check that out. Customer reviews, check out customer reviews on your products versus your competitors, and you may notice gaps in how people are searching or their dissatisfaction with some of these products. And I think that is a huge opportunity. Yep. And three, listing attributes is something that I think is so overlooked, and it's such low-hanging fruit. It's like they're going to, not only do you get in certain categories that spec view, where you can, if you're like searching a TV, it'll have, you know, it's 52 inch, it's LCD, it's like all those things that you would have to cram in for keywords, or now they just show up as part of search. Also on the product detail page, it'll have like fabric, material, like all that information that, you know, don't get me wrong, some of it should be in your listing if it makes sense, but it's saving you, and it's also making it cleaner for the shoppers, so that they're more likely to be like, oh, this has exactly what I'm looking for. Let me go make that purchase. So those are three off the top of my head.
Love it, love it. And I think the last one is super key, because I'm sure you have also noticed the fact that in some of the categories already, when you're shopping on Amazon, Amazon is giving a ton of options for you to check and filter further your results. Yeah. And if you don't have anything on that attribute, you're not going to come up on the search filter. And yeah, very good tip, that one. I feel a lot of times when I have a look at listings, like they just do the minimal, you know, the basics.
Oh, they never look in the back end too. It's a huge opportunity.
Yeah. Awesome, Will. So it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm sure, you know, people might be intrigued about, you know, working with you guys. I know you guys are one of the top people in the space, especially in the States when it comes to Amazon, Walmart. So tell us a little bit about how people can reach out to you. And also, yeah, how they can basically start working with you guys. Yeah?
Beautiful. Yeah, we appreciate it. Check us out on our website, bellavix.com. I'm Actington, Will Hare, like on your head with an E. You can check me out. And I post stuff all the time. I'm almost as active as Vincenzo. He's definitely
we're competing.
And then, yeah, if you can reach out to me directly on LinkedIn. And for qualified brands, we're happy to do free audits to see what's the SEO opportunities are on your dashboard.
Yeah.
But outside of that, Vincenzo, I appreciate being here. Great to chit-chat with you on your podcast. And I look forward to connecting again at our next event.
Same. Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much. Wish you an amazing week. Yeah. Let's keep in touch. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.